to Experience Health Radio, presented by Singola Consulting in collaboration with Stericycle Communication Solutions. Singola Consulting was founded on the basic principle that the patient should be at the center of every decision made by a healthcare organization. Our mission is to help organizations realize their investments in technology, employees, clinicians, and most importantly, their patients. Stericycle Communication Solutions is a service of Stericycle Incorporated, and it is the industry-leading communication solution provider for inbound, outbound, and automated call center communications. Today, we bring together industry leaders on air to engage in conversations about the patient experience with a focus on developments, integrations, and optimizations in areas that have the greatest opportunity for improvement in healthcare today.
Nimi is AJ Melarano. We're both the founders of Singola Consulting and the hosts of Experience Health Radio. As always, we're excited to share with our audiences our experiences and the experiences of our guests. And this week, we are the guests. This is our annual end-of-the-year show that looks back at what we've learned from our guests and experience with clients and partners around the world. We continue to be so grateful to everyone that has supported Experience Health Radio in its sophomore year. And we want to wish everyone a happy holiday season. But let's get started. Let's talk and recap those best shows from 2014. You want me to get started, AJ?
Sure, Fran. Let's go ahead.
Okay. Well, you know, we started off the year with Patty Cook from Baylor Health Care Systems, who talked about the role of the contact center in Baylor's overall marketing strategy and really tied it to the value in integrating every customer touch point to be able to acquire and retain market share. I think my really big takeaway there from Patty was how a journey map and understanding from the patient's experience how they are interacting with your organization was different than organizational workflows that talk about internally how we do things.
And Fran, I think the next show that we had online was around optimizing the EMR after implementation. And we had Dan Exley, who we both worked with in our prior lives and is now the director over at Memorial Health out in California. And what Dan really focused on was around the lessons from not standardizing processes and scheduling templates prior to implementing the EMR. And as you and I know, today going through organizations and really the biggest challenge around how do you start to standardize those processes and a lot of the scheduling templates after the implementation. And it just becomes more and more difficult the longer you go. So I think the lesson learned from that episode was really try to standardize, whether it's centralized or not doesn't matter, but standardizing those scheduling templates ahead of time and a lot of the office procedures makes a huge difference in both the success and the ease of that implementation.
Yeah, we can't agree more. I mean, we're seeing that currently with almost every one of our clients. You know, I have to admit that the world according to Fran, it did happen because we had a guest who canceled last moment. So I tried to fill in, and, you know, perhaps I'm only a legend in my own mind, but that episode in particular was about customer experience strategies. And, you know, I feel pretty strongly without one, you tend to mix and match best practices that may be great for someone, but they don't really align with the customer experience that you're trying to deliver. You know, I also talked about the customer, the chief customer officer, and how I think it's crucial that you need someone to drive that customer experience strategy across departments and business lines. And really, at a C-level, that CCO can really orchestrate a cross-functional team. And I don't think you're going to be able to get that value if you just make it somebody's second or third job. So it was really important for me to hone in on that idea of taking a key business leadership and accountability for that strategy at the C-level.
Fran, are you seeing more chief customer officers in organizations? Because I know that we see a lot of patient satisfaction and those types of roles. But you know, based on your travels, are you seeing more of that?
I absolutely am. I think it's really, you know, when you look at the reports that are showing what is the C-suite really focusing on, and always in the top three is that patient experience, I'm finally seeing them stepping up to the plate and doing more than talk about it. And they recognize mm-hmm. that somebody has to be the driver of change, and it's that CCO position.
Right. Then you had...
You know, our next... yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
You know, our next show, I really had a really good time with Dr. Adsit, Dennis Adsit from Cambia. You know, we talk a lot about technology, and this was really about something a little out of the box. And I purposely brought him on because he is a little controversial. And the way that he uses agent-assisted automation technology, I think, is pretty inventive. And while I think it still isn't certainly being adopted across the board, I believe that there is definitely a future for agent-assisted automation, especially around the sensitive data. So, you know, think about it, that the agent's receiving really sensitive data, be it social security numbers or credit card details. This technology sits in the middle, and while the agent's on the line, it collects that data without the agent hearing it, without recording it, and without being able to interact and get that knowledge. I think it's pretty cool stuff, and I think we need to stay on top of all of these new technology trends because we'll certainly see more of those in the coming year.
And Fran, we had this year we really put an emphasis on trying to get expertise on our show from outside of the healthcare industry, like you did with Dennis. I followed that up with a gentleman by the name of Rock Irvin from Cars.com. And he helped kind of lay out how they react real time to the information that their customers are telling them online. And with Cars.com, one of the leading online car, I guess it would be, repository for helping individuals search and locate vehicles across the world. Rock was very interesting in that he spoke directly on, they changed the way that they structure their search results based on what the customers are actually searching for. So if they're realizing that, you know, maybe it's something as simple as maybe the summer months, individuals are finding whether it's convertibles or sports cars or motorcycles or whatever it is, that they immediately change the way that they present results to their customers dynamically. And I think that it makes us realize the importance of linking together traditional media and the, I guess it's, you know, I don't know if they're still calling it new media today, but maybe digital media, and how they link all of that together to make sure that they tell a cohesive story and provide that the results that their customers are looking for in not only just a meaningful fashion, but in a real-time way that I think healthcare can take a lot and learn a lot from. We're always looking for ways to change the way that we're doing it in healthcare. We constantly say, you know, our competitors are no longer just the hospital down the street. It's also other industries, other online experiences. So I think what Rock shared with us that day, a lot of information around how we can now change the way that we are structuring, the way that we are providing search results for when individuals search for physicians. I think it was a great episode that if you haven't listened to it, I'd encourage you to go and listen to what a premier organization is doing in the automotive industry.
Well, it's interesting because after hearing and listening to that episode, I went to cars.com and did my own search for, you know, a vehicle that I would love to own. And the social media aspect of the users just going on and saying, hey, here's what I think about this car and here's how I would rate it. Can you imagine in healthcare if we would have social media talking about either the care that they received or the care provider that provided the care and saying, here's what I think and this is how I interact with them? I think we're going to see more of that, don't you?
I do. I think there's going to be a lot more transparency, not just in the service, but also in pricing. That's going to be something that, we talk about a lot. I think patients are wanting to get more educated on this, and I think that it's going to force organizations to start publishing this in a way that's similar to these other industries, because there is going to be that price variable that is going to be part of the consideration of these patients.
Yeah. You know, one of my personal favorites was talking with Sharon Cedar, who I'd worked with in the past, but I could truly be honest with her and admit that one of the biggest mistakes I've made in working with the organizations that I do and working in particular with the HIT is that I have a perception sometimes that they are preventionists, that they get in the way of getting a project done. And what I asked Sharon was to be very transparent and to come on the show and talk about, how do you work with HIT? How do you engage them so that they really add value to your project and the outcome of that project, you know, can be better than if you try to do it yourself and, you know, kind of a take-no-prisoners approach to project management. But I have to admit that I really changed my mind after having this this session, because Sharon was able to share with me some of her insights that talk about why HIT thinks the way they do, and that some of that pushback that I perceive sometimes is, you know, preventionism, is really about being able to make sure the project is in-depth, you know, that thorough consideration given to every option, including backup plans in case, you know, things go amiss when you're implementing. So I really did appreciate her perspective on it.
Fran, I've noticed a pretty big change and shift in, I don't know what, if it's the working relationship between the clinical and business side as well with IT, because it seemed like when we first started down this path early on in maybe 2003 or 4, there was a lot of uncertainty about, wait a minute, why is business being, you know, so involved in how we're setting this up? Why are the clinics so engaged and they're trying to tell IT, here's how we want to set things up? And there was a lot of uncertainty about mainly turf wars, I would say. And I was part of it, leading from the business side and understanding that I needed to work with HIT. And I think, I don't know if it's the formation of medical informatics that is that liaison between the two, maybe a better understanding that it's not a turf war and we're all in this together and we have to figure this out, because that line or the wall, I guess, between technology and patient satisfaction is much lower. And I think that working together, it's become easier. I think we understand each other a lot better. I think we understand and want to partner with each other. And I think that just makes the whole implementation and enhancements much, much easier than it was, you know, maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah, and I think there's definitely a shift from technology running the business to operations running the technology, so it can be the enabler and the solution to help us get our work done. And that was an opinion I think that's also shared by our guest Don Reichert from Metro Health. You know, he really talked about how to choose the right call center technology and how to follow a defined process, identifying, like, what are the risks associated with each product And for me, the big takeaway was to not rush through an important organizational decision and to not, you know, jump in being wooed by all the functionality and the bells and the whistles that, you know, catch your eye, but more importantly, really looking at analyzing products not only based on functionality, but how are they going to change the way that you deliver service and meet that expectation of your customer.
Yeah, I do. And you and I have had experience working with Don both at North Shore and then again at Metro. And I think his approach of making sure that we're not rushing the technology selection, and it's more than just a selection. It's the ongoing relationship. It's how easy are upgrades, how easy are enhancements, and because you truly are a partner in this world with whoever you're selecting as your technology vendor.
Yeah, we saw that some clients sometimes start with a specific vendor in mind, and that's not what our advice would be. We've guided our clients to do their due diligence and not shortchange the process, and I think that's important. You know, and there's two other key components to this, and one is to develop a technology investment plan as well as a communications plan. Both of those will give the organization a strategic advantage in that they really will be able to understand how they're going to communicate, how they're going to honor their promise of service, but it also puts everybody on the same page. And I think that's really important to be able to all walk in step so that you understand the priorities of the organization because, quite frankly, you know, there's no shortage of projects and there's lots of work to be done. But being able to really guide that process makes the difference.
And you had, Fran, again, someone else from another industry in Dennis Reno. Talk a little bit about what you learned in that episode.
Well, I have to admit that Dennis was one of my more enjoyable guests, and it was the result of a flight sitting next to him in which, you know, he's not only a gifted storyteller, he really had some dynamic examples of how healthcare can learn a lot about customer service from other industries. And you know, when he talked about it, you could replace the word consumer with patient or, you know, caretaker or physician, and it sounded like the same story that we would be talking about in healthcare, especially when it comes to focusing on the customer experience to drive that vision and strategy. I guess what Dennis really talked about was the commonality in any industry and the basic tenet of customer service, and that's personalization. I think, you know, my big takeaway here is customers first. That's what he said repeatedly in every story that he told. And being able to use information to personalize the engagement because that's what's memorable. They, you know, the patient's not going to remember the shot that they received or the flu shot, but what they will remember is the kindness and the compassion that they received and that they reminded that their child also needed one, and personalizing that message is big.
Right. And I think that so many times people think it's all about, you know, the moment that you go under the knife or the moment that you're having a certain procedure. And I think that a lot of it is the part that leads up to that, and more importantly, after, and the interactions that they have with the physicians and the caregivers and the individuals that they're paying the bills with. And I think customer service is so much bigger now than just the bedside manner. And I think that I'm not downplaying the bedside manner side of it, because poor bedside manner is obviously issues that organizations are facing, and they're coming up with unique and interesting ways to improve that. But just the interaction and the access and the overall patient experience, I think, is something that organizations are realizing it's a big differentiator. and mm-hmm. how do you make that difference?
Well, talk to me about the episode that you had on creating a fascinating patient experience, because I think that ties nicely.
So we've been doing this radio. We've been around now for 3 years. Radio show has been a little over, what, Fran? We're about almost, I guess we're 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And this by far was my one of my favorite episodes. And it's not just the topic, it's the individual as well. Paul is a former colleague of mine, as well as he's become just a great friend of me, and as well as Singola as an organization. And I think what he does is brings new breath and new ideas to healthcare, and he challenges status quo all of the time. If you want something, you know, right down the middle, very conservative, here's what you're going to get, that's not Paul. And Paul recently moved over to Texas Health Resources and is leading them on the marketing operations side of things, but he's also heavily involved with their innovation and different ways to interact with the staff, with patients, with caregivers. And, you know, as an example, I gave a presentation down in Atlanta, and I started it off, and I asked for his permission, of course. I started it off with a question of, how are you feeling today? And I asked that question, I don't know, maybe 8-9 times around the room, and I asked the same people. And it gets uncomfortable, and it was uncomfortable for me to ask that question. But Paul pointed out to me in our episode that question is asked over 50 times in someone's day. And at some point, you start to question yourself, how am I feeling today? And it becomes, it just becomes a nuisance. And then you start to ask, do these people really care how I'm doing today or how I'm feeling today? So what he did is implement something in an area of one of his hospitals that nobody could use that phrase. And it was all about finding out something unique about that patient. And he saw an increase in patient satisfaction directly related to initiatives like that Paul was implementing. And he's so creative. He always challenges what things are today. Anytime you get frustrated in healthcare, like it's always going to be the same. If you don't know Paul, I would do some research on him. He's all over the internet. He's done some great speeches around the country, and if you get the chance to listen to him, do it, because he makes you he just gives you the energy, and he reminds you why we're all in this.
You know, that was my first exposure to the Paul effect, and so it did prompt me to look up and find other things that he had either written or delivered, and there's lots of blogs with lots of things that he's talked about, but there are two that have really stuck for me. The first one is how he talks about getting letters from patients, and every healthcare organization gets them. The difference is he implemented a process where he actually invited the patient and their family or their caretaker to the hospital to actually read their letter to leadership. And the emotional connection of that is, I think, what Paul is always talking about, how he could take something little, because I think all of us have been in a situation where, you know, you have a hospital administrator reading a letter to kind of depict what great service we're doing. Look at how nice this patient said we treated them. But to actually get the patient there is huge.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
that just really stuck with me. I think the other thing that I read, and, you know, I'm kind of the brand police, and maybe that's your influence and us working together. But he talks about the fact that a brand isn't a logo and it isn't architecture, that it's really a living thing and everybody plays a role in it. And it's a quote that I'm reading from him. And for me, that also talks about the pride that you have in your organization. And we can talk about delivering great care and, you know, being leading edge, all of those things. But when you talk about all of us coming together and honoring that brand, it really is meaningful to me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think it's all about, doing something with the feedback. And I think that so often people are asked to take a survey or provide feedback, and they really don't know, well, is anyone going to read this? Is anybody going to do anything with this information? And I think having, in Paul's scenario, having the patient actually come back and read it and see how it affects the caregivers and the clinicians within that environment, and then have someone like Ed Shin on the show from Quality Reviews that he and our good friend Lenia Chan created Quality Reviews, where it allows people to provide real-time feedback from the point of check-in to immediately after they are discharged. And it's smart enough that if there's something wrong with the heat in the room or a light bulb is out or trash needs to be picked up, that the technology is sending off to the right department so that there can be an immediate response. And I think having that ability in these large healthcare organizations has become difficult, but I think through things like Quality Reviews and what we learned from them about providing that real-time feedback helps in all of this process. Again, hopefully all around the intent of providing that real-time feedback for improvement in patient satisfaction.
Yeah, can't say it better. Hey, you know what? Wrap us up for the year with our final guest in Building from the Ground Up.
You know, that, I think, both between, having them see success in Rochester, one of our premier clients, and actually launching a 200-plus seat contact center that they're doing scheduling and registration, nurse triage, physician referral, soon-to-be billing, and also our success. And I think it says a lot, Fran, in what we've built with Cingola, both from the internal and the team that we have here within, as well as the clients. And we often go to the fact that we don't work with everyone. We work with clients that want to change, that want to make a difference. We're not believers in wasting money or time. And I think seeing the contact center, the communication center at Rochester come to life was really an inspiration. I think it should be an inspiration. Well, it is an inspiration to us, but I also think it should be an inspiration to other organizations out there that are trying to do this, that are attempting to do it, and realize it's a long haul. I think what Jason is the project manager over there and Bob Nesselbush and Mary Parlett and what they've done, what they've created, they should be very proud of that.
I so agree. It's been a great learning experience, right? And I think some of the lessons that we've learned here have, helped us to develop even better solutions for our clients who are in similar situations.
Yeah. And Fran, let's extend a little bit longer today. We've got a little bit of time because I want to spend time going through some trends and what we think is going to happen in 2015 and 16. We've read a few things, we've seen a few predictions, but what about things that we think? What are some of the top trends that you're seeing now and needs that are out there within our current client base?
Well, I think, gone are the days of communicating solely over the phone. I mean, we've talked multi-channel, we've talked omni-channel, but I think really those capabilities and the Best Call Center software that has capabilities to communicate across multiple channels is going to really become the reality in healthcare. It's already the reality in the consumer's world, but now you really will see consumers demanding that healthcare talk to them in the channel of communication that they want to talk to, not the one just in voice.
Right. And Fran, what do you think about cloud-based versus premise. Where do you think that's going? Is that going to take off, or there's still the doubters out there?
Yeah, I don't think this is early adopter stage anymore. This, you know, your more traditional on-premise based call centers, they're just bogged down by all that hardware and large IT teams. I think any organization that's serious about driving the highest ROI possible are using cloud-based contact center software. It's a necessity not only to trim their operations, but to aim to operate at a leaner basis and to really be able to have the functionality that they need to be able to communicate in those multi-channels.
And I think something that, you know, switching gears a little bit, what I've learned and picked up just over the last couple of months is how some of the advanced healthcare organizations are really starting to contemplate moving away from having the EMR vendor, whoever their choice is, to be the foundation. And this is a 180-degree different approach than what I believed really up till recently. I was a firm believer that when you invest in the EMR, that everything should focus on that and you should build off of it. What we're learning is that a lot of the EMR vendors are struggling with keeping up with those advanced organizations. When I say advanced, meaning that they want to engage in the patients in ways that the patients are used to with other industries. And the challenge is that the EMR vendors, they have to both develop for those advanced clients as well as those who are just coming on board. And examples are in the patient portal world. You've got those that are still focusing on how do we register and sign up and engage the patients, to those that are more advanced of how are we providing real-time evaluations and feedback of managed care and those types of things, or disease management. And it's becoming a struggle, and the gap is increasing. So it's going to be really interesting what's going to happen over the next year or two with those organizations that have been on their patient portal for, you know, 8 to 10 years now, and how they're going to get their support and what direction they're going to go.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
I think one other thing that I have picked up is the whole standardization of scheduling. The advisory board published something the other day around designer appointments and reducing those. And one of our clients in Texas is really starting to focus on that. They have roughly 1,700 different visit types in their system, roughly 40-some percent too many. And I think they have realized that. It's just difficult to manage. It's difficult to have cross-department scheduling. So there is work that is beginning there and within other of organizations out there to start to standardize this and reduce these designer type appointments that you can only schedule on the second Tuesday of the month between 1 and 3 and those types of things. And I think that alone will help in streamlining the process, regardless if you physically centralize or not. I think that, mm-hmm. that having the ability to centralize or is one thing, but standardizing is a necessity.
You're preaching to the choir.
I know. The last big thing I want to announce is some of our audience has probably already noticed that we are now producing the show in collaboration with Stericycle Communication. And what does that mean? It means that we have partnered with an organization that has a wealth of knowledge around creating contact centers and communication centers. They have traditionally been an outsourced solution. We've partnered together to work with organizations that really, you know, they're not certain on whether or not they want to outsource or bring everything in-house. And I think it's a great
partnership between the two of us, and that when they come across those organizations that just aren't ready to outsource yet, they engage us. We are still an objective view, but I think what it does do is open up a lot of opportunities for both of us to work together. It brings a lot of resources together, and I think that it's an exciting time, and more detail to come around this in the coming episodes, as we'll probably have a couple of guests from Stericycle join us.
Yep.
So, Fran, anything in closing from your end? And I mean, as I said, we've been doing this for 3 years, Radio Show 2. How's everything in Fran's world?
In Fran's world, but you know what? I think I need to say thank you to you. I mean, it's been a wonderful year. We've had tremendous success, primarily because of the support of our partners, of our clients, and of each other. I think it's a tremendous opportunity for healthcare, and I feel like we've made a difference, and that was really important to me.
Right. Yeah, and likewise here, I think that there's no better feeling than to wake up in the morning and know that that you really can make a difference. And mm-hmm. you know, with us owning our own company and setting the vision, it's up to us to maintain that. And I think we've done a great job with that. I think, or I hope, our clients are happy with what we're doing and continue to do so. I look forward to the next year. It's going to be a very interesting and fast-paced year for us. But, I want to thank all of our clients, all of our audience, all of the teams that are the team at Singola, and welcome to the Stericycle team as well.
Well, AJ, thanks for a great show, and thanks for a great year. From all of us at Singola Consulting, best wishes for a happy and healthy new year. Join us in the new year when we continue our engaging conversations about the patient experience with a focus on the developments, integrations, and optimizations in areas that have the greatest opportunity for improvement in healthcare today.
Thank you for joining us today, and please visit us at singolaconsulting.com as well as stericyclecommunications.com to learn more about how we can help your organization realize your investments. And remember to always put the patient at the center of every decision you make. Thank you, everyone.